Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. We are obviously a part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook or follow the Red Cedar Report on Twitter at Red Cedar Report. Today on the show, no Xavier Tillman talk. It is still football season, though, as of the recording of this podcast, he will be making his announcement in about an hour. But today on the show, we do have Grant Estenmacher back with me again after his stellar debut on Monday. We're talking about the Indiana Hoosiers, what they bring to the table as Michigan State gets ready to face off for what is arguably the most disgusting trophy in sports outside of the Stanley Cup. And Grant, we kind of talked about the situation on Monday when we did our Wisconsin recap, but now that was more speculation. Now we kind of know what's going on with Riley Buehler, what's going on with John Reschke. And the news is pretty much, well, the opposite of what we were speculating. We thought Riley Buehler would be out for an extended period of time. Now he's listed as day-to-day. John Reschke is going to miss that extended period of time. How does Michigan State handle the linebacker rotation moving forward?
Well, I know. I mean, I think that obviously Michigan State has a ton of depth at linebacker, and specifically with Reschke's case of the star, Andrew Dowell, when he has played this year, he's played extremely well. Played well in the Furman game when Reschke was out that game with an injury. So, I think Michigan State can rely on Dowell. I think Dowell can make plays. I've been a big Andrew Dowell fan since he started getting more and more playing time. I mean, he's really, really impressed. I mean, obviously, not having Reschke hurts. Reschke's a playmaker too. But Dowell's more than capable of stepping in while Reschke's out. As for Riley Buehler, I mean, I think that one is more important than Reschke. I mean, he's the leader of that defense. He makes the defensive calls in the middle. People look to him when the offense, especially when you're playing a team like Indiana that does some weird things on offense with how they motion guys and how they run their offense and how quickly and fast-paced, they get to the line and run their plays. So having Riley Buehler in there for a team like that is so, so valuable. If he's not going to play with Shane Jones in there, Jones, he's been at State for a while. He hasn't really played a ton. He did a pretty good job filling in against Wisconsin, but, without your two really best linebackers in the fold, it does hurt, especially with Reschke pass rushing-wise. Dowell's more of a fly around the field and make plays. I think Reschke's a better pass rusher than Dowell is when they do send blitzes. Same with Riley Buehler. Riley Buehler is a good blitzer as well. So I think Harlan Barnett's going to have to get a little bit creative in terms of how he's going to disguise blitzes against Indiana, especially considering the way their offense plays. And then, for the future too, not having Reschke, for the next couple games is one thing when they have a little bit weaker opponents, but as the schedule starts to get tougher down the stretch with Michigan and Ohio, Penn State at the end of the year, I mean, you're going to want, hopefully, to have them back by some of those games at least, because you want to have all your horses on the field for those teams. So it definitely hurts the Spartans in the middle for sure.
Yeah, the Reschke thing, I mean, when the way D'Antonio words it, you kind of expect it to be more or less a season-ending injury. And like you said, Dowell would probably be the ideal guy to have in against a team like Indiana anyways, just given the way that he's the most athletic linebacker Michigan State has at their disposal. Excuse me. And so I think that I don't want to say benefits the Spartans, but I think that it forces the Spartans to play their trump card a little bit earlier in the game. Don't get it wrong. Reschke, I feel, in his very limited time playing this season, was Michigan State's best defender so far. And so I feel that that's going to hurt. And I kind of want to piggyback off of what you said about Riley Buehler as well. It's not even the shift for Indiana, the motions and anything else. Buehler is important. It's how they make their play calls at the line. They do the hurry up. They get information. They look at what Michigan State lined up as. Look over to the sideline. They get their call. When they get their call, that's when Riley Bulla is important, because Bulla is, well, he's a Bulla. You know, he knows exactly what Michigan State's defense needs to do. Look, I don't know if Shane Jones has that quality. In the Wisconsin game, we don't know if he maybe missed a couple calls that Riley would have made. The only way to really know that is if he's on the team. But just having the comfort of someone with that last name, I don't care if it's their sister Holly who's making the call, it just helps. You feel like it eases the defense a little bit. It relaxes the defense. And against a team like Indiana, you said it, that is the most important thing, is being able to know what they're going to run in advance. And I don't know if Shane Jones can do that. Shane Jones is a great linebacker, played well against Wisconsin, but I don't know if he gives them extra intangible quality, that quality that ultimately Michigan State needs to slow down the spread team, because they've had issues with the spread over the last two seasons. Speaking of having issues, even though it's a really weak transition, can TLC bounce back against Indiana? I know we kind of touched on this a little bit Monday as well, but this obviously is the main talking point of the week for the Spartans. How do you feel, Tyler? Can Tyler O'Connor bounce back?
I think he can. I think that this game is a good game for him to have after Wisconsin. The reason why I say that is not only are you not playing like a Michigan or Ohio State, Indiana's not a slouch, but it's still not an easy game. You do have to go on the road, and you do kind of have to play well to win the game. If they don't play well, Indiana will come up and beat you. So you do have to go on the road and play well. I think that you're going to see a lot of the same things with Michigan State that you usually see. I think they're going to try to run the ball early, get O'Connor comfortable, especially considering how fast Indiana's offense is, how quickly they can score. I think that Dave Warner's going to try to keep the ball out of their offense's hands. And so I do see them running the ball a lot early, but I think that O'Connor will get comfortable with the play action. I think he'll get comfortable throwing the ball downfield. I expect more of a Notre Dame Tyler O'Connor than a Wisconsin Tyler O'Connor. I think that he does bounce back. You know, as for the people calling for Lewerke, I don't think, even if you did want him and thought that he should be the quarterback, him having to come in and be the starter for this game would be tough. A road game against a team that can beat you, that can score really quickly. I mean, as the quarterback for the other team playing against Indiana, you got to kind of be thinking, we got to go score because their offense is so good. So you do have to score points. And it'll be interesting to see if he does bounce back. I think he does, but.
And ultimately, it's a division game as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so by putting in Lewerke, you're willing to, I don't want to say scrap the season, because I don't know how. I've told everybody from the second I saw him in the spring game, I feel this kid's going to be something very, very special. So, but at the same time, Tyler O'Connor does have that experience. He can win on the road. He has won on the road. He's won in two of the most hostile environments in college football. And so it's going to be – so I think having him just maybe get back into a little bit of a rhythm, find the comfort zone that he had against Notre Dame, even though that – we can admit the numbers looked good, but it wasn't his greatest game. And so I think if they can just turn him into more – like be more – efficient as a game manager. That's all he needs to do. I mean, I talked about in the article that I posted on Wednesday where I was saying now's not the time to just completely scrap everything. You know, you still have all your goals in front of you. But there's a sign in the quarterback meeting room at Michigan State that Spartan quarterbacks are game managers. Michigan State was spoiled for the Kirk Cousins era, for the Connor Cook era, And ultimately, they got Michigan State got a lot more than what they even asked for from a quarterback. And I'm not, like, saying Tyler O'Connor played well against Wisconsin. He obviously didn't do enough to win. But the biggest issue is not getting behind early against Indiana, because what you said about Lewerke, I feel Tyler O'Connor may end up trying to do the same thing, because you saw him try to do it against Wisconsin. And I think that that's going to be an issue. So I think you're right. They are going to run the ball. They are going to pound it. They are going to try to keep the ball out of Indiana's offense. His hands, but at the same time, O'Connor might need to make the plays down the stretch, and even though he didn't do it against Wisconsin, I there's more faith in him, just given the fact that he made the plays when he needed to against Notre Dame, when they started making things interesting at the end of the game a couple weeks ago, or against Ohio State when he needed to make the plays. And so I think that that is why Mark D'Antonio and company is going to stick with him. One of the things that kind of came out of the Wisconsin game as well is additional freshmen, obviously. Mike Panasic and Donnie Corley were the red shirts that Mark D'Antonio had no intention of using when the season started. But Viola Cusa, Josh King, Austin Robertson, Tristan Jackson, they all saw a little bit of time, and it looks like they might work their way into the rotation, into their rotations as the season progresses. How big of a role are these four going to play?
I mean, it depends. I think it goes from person to person. With Robertson and King, I do see them playing, especially if we keep struggling to get pass rush against opposing quarterbacks. I mean, if you're Mark D'Antonio and you're down by a bunch of points to Wisconsin and you choose to burn the red shirts of these kids, you would think that he's thinking he's going to do that with the intention that they're going to play some down the stretch. I can't imagine that he did that just to get them in the game and then not play them at all the rest of the year. So I do think they're going to play. As for how much, I don't know. In Tristan Jackson's case, the one thing I would like to see him try out, maybe they've tried this out in practice. I don't know. I don't know how good he would be at it, but he seems like an ideal candidate to return kicks or punts. And, you know, in the past, you know, even like the past year, so far this year, that hasn't really been a strong point for Michigan State yet. RJ Shelton does a decent enough job, but if you can get an electric guy back there that changes the game, kind of like Michigan has with Jabril Peppers, and maybe Jackson's that guy, because I know he can fly. He's got speed. So who knows? Maybe they try him back there. But, you know, I would like to see them play. If D'Antonio's going to choose to burn the red shirt, I would like to see them play some and get some experience, whether it be in slot time, whether it be critical, whatever he decides to do, I would at least like to see them play some. Otherwise, it's just a waste of a red shirt, a waste of a year. So.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it went in, that's kind of how it went in 2012. With Michigan State, they burned Aaron Burbridge and McGarrett King's red shirts. I'm pretty sure right now it's safe to say you'd at least like to have Aaron Burbridge back. And so I think the wide receiver spot in the Tristan Jackson thing is the most interesting, and you brought up a good point, because they've given him some run in fall camp as a returner. I can't specify the amount. I was not at fall camp, but you saw it in the Green and White Days documentary on BTN. They were giving him a little bit of time there. He struggled against Wisconsin, had an illegal procedure penalty, dropped a pass that was right where it needed to be. And ultimately, Michigan State has guys who can make plays at wide receiver. Monty Medeiros played really well this year. Obviously, Donnie Corley is making a name for himself. RJ Shelton, he hasn't lived up to expectations as a senior, ultimately. But at the same time, you know what he is capable of when the quarterback does try to get him the ball. We saw it last year with Connor Cook. I saw it at the end of the Rutgers game, how he stepped up and made big plays. He's capable of making those plays. It's just he hasn't had much of an opportunity this year. it seems like the only time he's getting the ball is off of jet sweeps and screens. And those do count as part of his receptions, in which case I think he's, what, third on the team or something right now? And
that's not a
good look for the Michigan State offense.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has the ability to make plays. So Tristan Jackson, I think they are planning on using just the returner, because that has been Michigan State's biggest issue. When you talk about the way Michigan State likes to play, they like to flip the field, and that can be on both
mm-hmm.
punts and that can be on returns as well. Obviously, Hardbarker, when he gets put on the ball, more than capable of flipping the field. But R.J. Shelton, he doesn't return it out of the end zone at all if he's just a foot in. The fair catches on the punts when there's 10 yards of space get a little frustrating at times, I'm sure. And so Tristan Jackson is probably going to get a little bit of an opportunity there. Dio Lacusa, they're just looking for depth up front. He's not going to start, but they do need a little more depth up front, a little more consistency throughout the course of the games. And I agree with you on King and Robertson. Michigan State has had a hard time getting to the quarterback. And with Indiana spread, it's going to get a little bit harder. Their offensive line has kind of struggled throughout the course of this year. But with the spread, it's a lot of quick releases, a lot of short patterns. Snap, get the ball out of the quarterback's hand, into the receiver's hand. How much of a role do you see Robertson and King playing this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, with Indiana, too, Indiana does a lot of the quick hitting plays to set up deeper plays. And so it's going to be even really more difficult than usual to get a pass rush on that just because they run plays so quick. But like I said before, I see them playing some. I just don't see a reason why you would burn the redshirt without playing them some, especially if early on Demetrius Cooper continues to struggle. I mean, Evan Jones hasn't
mm-hmm.
really impressed at all. So it's, you know, obviously outside of Malik McDowell, we've really struggled to get a pass rush, especially from the edges. I mean, our you know, Kevin Williams, Raekwon Williams have played decent, but the edge rushers is really where Michigan State has struggled. And so if that pattern continues, at least maybe for the first quarter, first half against Indiana, I think you would expect to see them in the second half and hope that they provide a spark of energy, provide something to at least make the quarterback feel uncomfortable, especially if Indiana starts tearing out Michigan State through the air. So I definitely see them playing for sure.
Yeah, the biggest thing about their pass rushing is on the defensive line, Malik McDowell has generated most of the pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
Now, against Indiana, I've said their offensive line has struggled. Well, they also have one of the best offensive linemen in college football, if not the best, in Dan Feeney, who is a guard on their team. If he lines up against McDowell, look, if there's anybody in the country if I'm an offensive coordinator and I can take anybody in the country I want to negate Malik McDowell, it's going to be Dan Feeney. I think it's as simple as that. And he's listed as questionable, but if he does play, Michigan State's pass rush is out the window. I mean,
I'm not saying
McDowell won't beat him a couple times, but Feeney will get his hits in as well.
And I think, too, I mean, with that being said, it'll be interesting to see how that matchup does play itself out. But Michigan State does move McDowell around a ton on the defensive line. And if McDowell starts not generating as much of a push against him, then you'll definitely see him move around a lot. So there are ways for Michigan State to counter that. But still, I mean, pass rushing starts from the edges. I mean, you can push the pocket back, but a quarterback who's athletic at all can escape around the edge if you don't have an edge rush. So it really, really does start with edge rushers. And Michigan State really needs that part of their defense to improve.
Yeah, I mean, and Indiana has given Michigan State some issues in the past. Last year's game, really close into the fourth quarter, a couple. Michigan State pulled ahead, got up by two scores, and then recovered a fumble off a kickoff, and then they kind of made the score look a lot better than game actually was. And so Michigan State does need to get after the quarterback. Let's talk about the quarterback a little bit. You did the IU scouting report for us at iSports Web. Nate Sudfeld,
yeah,
one of the most prolific passers in Big Ten history. Really efficient. I really like that kid when he was at IU, especially when he was paired up with a healthy Jordan Howard. Well, both of those guys are gone. Howard's actually going to start against the Detroit Lions this weekend in place of Jeremy Langford, who got hurt. Talk about what IU has back there right now.
So they do. They have Richard Lago replacing Sudfeld at quarterback, and he's played pretty well so far. I mean, the first two games didn't have any interceptions. He didn't throw for a ton of yards. He threw for 240 and 266 against Florida International and Ball State, which, keep in mind, too, Indiana struggled in both those games, at least at the start. I mean, both scores ended up 10-plus, but they did struggle with those teams to start. And Indiana's last game, they lost to Wake Forest.
Let me just interject something here. Indiana has had a history of starting slow.
Yep.
Starting the season slow. Teams that even Indiana is going to be favored by 14, 17, 20 to beat. They've had a history of starting slow and then scaring the elite Big Ten teams. They scared Michigan last year. They scared Ohio State. They scared Michigan State up until about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And so they've had a history of starting slow, and don't take anything for granted against this team. Let's just start with that warning.
Right. And they do seem to pick up their play once Big Ten play starts. They do give everybody trouble in the Big Ten. So Lago is a big kid. He's 6'6", 240, so he's a big body. In the Wake Forest game, though, he did struggle. He threw 5 interceptions against Wake Forest in their loss. He did throw for 496 yards, which is a ton. But he did throw 5 interceptions, 3 touchdowns in that game. So he did struggle against probably their best opponent so far, a much improved Wake Forest team who's undefeated right now. But as for replacing Jordan Howard, they have Devine Redding in the backfield. He has 313 yards on the year. He averages 4.9 yards a carry. So he's done a good enough job. He's not as electrifying as Howard is, or even Tevin Coleman, who was there before. He's not as good, I would say, as those guys, but he's capable. He's a good back. You know how Indiana likes to run the ball, too. He's a good back. He's capable. He'll provide problems if Michigan State doesn't at least think about stopping the run before the pass. And outside, on the edge, Indiana has a young sophomore at receiver named Nick Westbrook, who's really, really impressed. He has 332 yards so far this year. He caught a 79-yard touchdown. He has 4 total touchdowns this year. And so he seems to be Lago's go-to guy on the edge in terms of where they want to get the football. But, you know, they're typical Indiana. They run plays quickly. They're a good football team, especially on offense. And that offense is going to provide Michigan State's defense problems. I think Michigan State really, really needs to focus on finding a way to turn them over, because Indiana has shown that they have the propensity to do that, especially with the 5 interceptions against Wake Forest. I didn't watch all of that game. I watched some of it, but it did seem like Lago had a little bit more trouble with a pass rush. You know, he's a younger kid, a little bit more inexperienced than Sudfeld was, obviously. So, you know, that's the same thing every week. If they can generate a pass rush and maybe force him into some throws that he's not too comfortable making, Michigan State might be able to turn the ball over, flip the field like you talked about earlier, win the field possession battle, win the time of possession battle. So if they can do that, they'll be in a lot better shape than if they just keep Lago clean in the pocket and let him pick apart the defense, because he definitely is capable of doing that. He has a good arm, big kid. I mean, he's a typical framed quarterback, so you can't let him sit back there and throw, and you can't let Devine Redding run all over you. It's really a mix with Indiana. They throw and they run, so you have to focus on both, and you can't let one get established. You have to have them searching for answers as opposed to establishing one to set up the other.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Let's talk about their defense. We've got about 5 minutes left. We still got to get to predictions as well. Indiana runs a 4-2-5. Now, the last time Spartan fans seen a 4-2-5 wasn't exactly the best of times. Marion Adams kind of in that fifth defensive back role. You can go back to the 60s and talk about George Webster. But Indiana's got an improved defense with it, because it just adds more speed out there. And I think that's one of the things that you talked about is getting Tyler O'Connor established. Well, if he's not gonna be able to get established with his receivers, especially with Richard Fine Jr., lockdown corner for Indiana, probably the best player in the Big Ten that you haven't heard of. I think that Tyler O'Connor needs to use his tight ends a little bit more in this type of a game, and Michigan State will look to establish the run. But if Michigan State probably will be able to punch Indiana in the mouth, but at the same time, this is a much improved defense.
Yeah. So, I mean, they only start one senior on defense, but don't let that fool the Michigan State fans or the Michigan State offense, because they have a lot of young guys in there, juniors and sophomores that just fly around the field and make plays. They're fast. They're not the same Indiana defense as before that you could just carve them up with whatever way you wanted to. I mean, they're only allowing 22 points a game so far this year, which compared to past Indiana teams has been very good. And if Michigan State was to only score 22 points, I'm not sure that would be good enough for a victory against an Indiana offense like this. So their defense has done the job without a doubt. And you talk about Fant, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Is he going to stay on one side of the field, kind of the Josh Norman debate, or is he going to follow maybe R.J. Shelton or Donnie Corley around, or is he just going to stay on one side of the field? So it'll be interesting to see how they use him, because Michigan State does have playmakers on the outside.
All right, man. We got about 3 minutes left. Really quick, your prediction for this weekend.
I think that Tyler O'Connor bounces back. I think that Indiana gives Michigan State trouble, just like they always seem to do. But at the end of the day, I just think Michigan State's too good. I don't see a Mark D'Antonio team that's as talented as this one losing two games in a row. I'm going to take Michigan State. I believe I took them by 38-24, something along that line in terms of score. So I think they'll end up pulling away at the end, similar to what the game was last year, just not as big of a score margin as it was.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Michigan State, like I said, I think they can hit Indiana in the mouth on the ground. Look, the offensive line had their struggles. Indiana's defensive front probably resembles something a little closer to Notre Dame. And the fact that you have what their version of a Rover, I think they call it a Husky, roaming out there, it does give their defense a little more speed, but at the same time, when you bring speed in, you typically tend to sacrifice power. And you need power to bring down L.J. Scott. You need power to bring down Gerald Holmes. And so I think Michigan State can get it going with those two. Josiah Price, he picked up the slack when the game was already in hand last week. I think Tyler O'Connor is going to carry that over, realize how dependable of a target he has in Price at the tight end spot. With all those defensive backs, they will be focused on shutting down the big play guys, which is pretty much everybody out there, with the exception of Felton Davis, who we might even see Tristan Jackson jump him on the depth chart, Madaris Shelton, and Corley. And so I think that they'll be focused on trying to stop that if they don't load up the box, and I think that's going to open things up for Price and or Lyles. And I think Michigan State, it's going to be a lot closer than people want. It's going to infuriate the fan base, but Michigan State, I think at the end of the day, does end up picking up the W. I've got them winning 31-30. That does it for us today on the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. Be sure to tune in Monday as we recap the game for the Old Brass Platoon. For Grant Estenmacher, I'm Tyler Hayward. This is the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.